Good morning. Happy 2nd of July. I know July 4th is on Tuesday, but a lot of people are doing things this weekend. You might have something planned for Tuesday or Monday, but whatever your plans are, let me just encourage you at some point this weekend or on the 4th or both to just take a moment and reflect on that freedom that we do have here in America. As Gary said, freedom is not free. It comes at a great cost, and it's a cost that can be easy to forget sometimes when we just wake up and go about our day-to-day. And so it's great to have these times where we can remember that freedom. And freedom is the inspiration, obviously, for this morning's service and for this morning's message. So if you would join me by opening your Bibles to the book of Galatians, chapter 5. The book of Galatians, chapter 5. It's in your New Testament, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. If you don't have a Bible, there's probably one in the seat back in front of you. You can grab that, look on with a neighbor, but we're in Galatians 5. While you're getting there, just a quick announcement. Last week, we wrapped up our series called Say What, where we looked at different surprising truths of the Bible. Next week, we're launching a new series called Happy Dance. Because there is joy in Christ, and there is absolute 100% joy in Christ. Now, that doesn't mean as believers we won't have hard days. It doesn't mean we won't be down in the dumps from time to time. But it does mean that there is a joy to be found in Christ that transcends all of that. It's a happiness that Jesus said in the Beatitudes, blessed are you when you're persecuted. Blessed are the poor in spirit. A happiness that is not because of the world, but rather in spite of the world. A happiness, a joy that's only found in Christ. We're going to look at that. We're going to be going through the book of Philippians. We're going to take a couple of detours and look at some different stories throughout the Bible, but primarily a book of joy. The book of Philippians. That starts next week. So bring yourself, bring your Bible, bring a friend, bring a family member, anybody who could benefit from the joy of Christ. We're doing that next week. But for this week, we're talking about our freedom in Christ. And for that, we're in Galatians chapter 5. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the freedom that you have given us here in America. A freedom that can oftentimes almost be forgotten because it is so sure. It's a freedom that says we can gather here this morning and we don't have to be worried that agents of the government will come through the doors and arrest us. We can be here. We are free to worship. We are free to draw near you. We're free to tell people. We're free to be proud in Christ. We're free to take the gospel everywhere. And now, Lord, that's a freedom that comes from you. It's rooted in you. It's a freedom that we're going to look at this morning. And it's our prayer that as we do that, as we look to your word, that you would be with us, that you would guide us, that your Holy Spirit would move in this place to illuminate our mind to the incredible freedom we have in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, 241 years ago on Tuesday, 56 men sat in a room not far from here, about 60 miles away in Philadelphia, and signed their names to what would become one of our nation's most important documents of all time, the Declaration of Independence. It told the world that we, as an American people, a united people, were breaking our ties with Great Britain. And that from then onward, we would consider ourselves forever free. That document has in its second paragraph a line that maybe you have memorized, but it says, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." That document tells the world that we are declaring ourselves to be free, that we didn't want to live under the thumb of a foreign king anymore. We didn't want to be in bondage to a foreign government anymore. We wanted to be free to make our own decisions, to chart our own destiny, to have our own relationship with the world. We didn't want some dictator thousands of miles away telling us what we could and what we couldn't do. That Declaration of Independence told the world not only were we free, but that we would never go back to the way things were. And we didn't. And things were very different after that was signed. What followed that signature was an 8-year-long war for independence that claimed the lives of more than 25,000 American soldiers. And I checked this past week, and since that signing, more than 1.26 million American soldiers have laid down their lives in the defense of that very freedom. So every year, on July 4th, we stop and we celebrate and we remember and we cherish what it took to make that Declaration of Independence happen. What it meant to bring us the freedom that we enjoy every single day here in the United States. But this morning, I want to talk about another freedom. A freedom that transcends all political freedom and social freedom and economic freedom. A freedom that comes through a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. It's a freedom that liberates us from the law and from religion and from sin and from death and from anything at all that might come between you and a close relationship with God. It's a freedom that Paul describes in Romans 8, where he says, "For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ, free from the law of sin and death." And just like your American freedom has a Declaration of Independence, you, as a believer, have something that I'm calling the Believer's Declaration of Independence. It's a statement that says, because of what Jesus has done for you, you are free. And not just today, but forever. You are free from the law. You are free from bondage. You are free from what Paul will call slavery. You are free to have a relationship with the Lord. You are free to never go back to the way things used to be ever again. You see, when Paul wrote this letter to the Galatians, he was, in effect, declaring their independence. Because the Galatian church was a church struggling with that idea. And so throughout this entire book, he outlines their freedom. It's so prominent through this book that many scholars have come to refer to it as the Magna Carta of the Bible, because it's all about freedom. And just like our American independence, our Declaration of Independence has that line that everybody knows, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, a line that encompasses everything it's about, a line that gives the essence of what they were trying to say, so too does this book of Galatians. It's one verse, and it's the single verse, the only verse we're going to look at this morning. It's in chapter 5. Look at verse number 1. Paul writes, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." When the founding fathers wrote and signed their names to the Declaration of Independence, it was because they were responding to a whole bunch of evil laws that had come down from King George. Laws like taxation without representation. Laws like the quartering of British troops among civilian homes without their consent. Could you imagine what it would be like if the government showed up at your front door and said, "Mr. and Mrs. Homeowner, even though you may not want to, you're going to house and feed and take care of this squad of soldiers, and you don't have any choice." That went on. That happened every single day. Things like kidnapping would become regular events in the early colonies. Searches without any kind of cause or warrant, forcing the colonies to send their goods and merchandise back to England free of charge. All of these laws that basically turned all 2.5 million citizens into slaves for the British crown. And in response to that, the founding fathers, the patriots, stood up and said, "No more. We're not doing that anymore. We're not living under that kind of bondage anymore." And they declared their freedom. Well, a very similar thing was going on when Paul wrote this letter to the church at Galatia. Because even though as believers in Christ, they were free, they were starting to slip back into their old ways. They were starting to go back into the law, back into religion. And there were even some among the congregation that were encouraging that. They were trying to undermine everything that Jesus died to do. That's why Paul says in Galatians 2, verse 4, "Yet because of false brothers secretly brought in, who slipped in to spy out our freedom that we have in Christ, so that they might bring us into slavery." That's what was going on in the church. A movement from freedom back into bondage. And so that's what Paul is responding to when he writes this letter, outlining their independence as believers. And there's a few things that I want you to take away from this single verse this morning as we look at it. And the very first thing is our reason for freedom. Notice what Paul says. He says, "For freedom you have been set free," or "Christ has set us free." When you read through the Declaration of Independence, what you will find is a whole long list of reasons. Reasons why the founding fathers, the early Americans, believed in the cause for independence. Reasons like martial law, where British soldiers acted as police. Reasons like juryless trials or burning towns and obstruction of justice and murder. One of those lines in the Declaration actually says, "Pretend offenses, invented charges thrown at people simply for the reason of pulling them out of society and throwing them into jail." And on and on and on the grievances go. And so theirs was a struggle against oppression, a struggle against tyranny, a struggle against bondage. But there's something that I have noticed, and possibly you have noticed as well, and that is for a lot of people, they have a very different idea of what freedom means. You see, for many, freedom means the freedom of choice, the freedom to experiment, the freedom to do what I want with whoever I want, whenever I want, and no one can say anything. This is a free country. I can do what I want, and no one can tell me any different. For theirs, it's not freedom from an oppressive monarchy, but rather freedom from any standard of morality. But take a peek at where that freedom has actually got us. I was reading this past week that every single year in the United States, we spend $35 billion on prison. People who had the freedom of choice to commit a criminal act. We spend $468 billion on drug addiction and alcoholism and the fallout from that. $668 billion is spent combating poverty. The average American has between $5,000 and $6,000 in credit card debt. And if you were to add up all of the revolving debt of all of the Americans, now we're not talking about the national debt, just the individual debts of the people who live here, if you added all of that up, it comes to almost $1 trillion. It seems to me that the freedom to do what we want is actually a very unfreeing thing. It's a binding thing. It's an enslaving kind of a thing. I remember when I was in high school, and I could not wait to get out on my own. And if you've got a high schooler, or you remember, you might have the same story. I couldn't wait to get out of the rule of my parents on my own apartment, my own phone, my own credit card, all my own life, my own decisions. I couldn't wait to be on my own, to have my freedom. Well, then one day, I got everything I asked for. And what I realized very quickly was that kind of to pay rent for that apartment that I was free to get. I had to work to pay for that phone, and I was free to sign up for that credit card, but not so free to just leave it. Somebody put it this way: man's worst difficulties begin when he is able to do as he likes. I heard one pastor put it like this: the more we do as we please, the less we are pleased with what we do. And when a lot of people think of freedom, that's what they're thinking of, the freedom from responsibility, the freedom to do as they please, the freedom to do as they like, the freedom from accountability, the freedom from consequences. But when Paul talks about freedom here in Galatians, he has something very different in mind. It's a freedom from slavery. It's a freedom from bondage, from a religious system designed to keep people away from God. It is a freedom to go to the Lord in a relationship and escape religion. Did you know that the religion of the Old Testament, the law, was made up of 613 different commandments? 365 of those, by the way, were thou shall not kind of commandments. Maybe they figured every day of the year you needed to be reminded of something not to do, but that's about how it went. 613 different laws. And it included the law of God, but then what happened was the Pharisees started to add to it. And they added to it, and they added their regulations and their understanding. And before long, it grew to become this monstrosity that just ruined people's lives. It was so bad that Jesus said in Matthew 15, "In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrine, as the word of God, commandments of men." For example, we all know the commandment that God gave to Moses in Exodus 20 that says, "Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy." Remember the day that God took to rest from his work of creation, the Sabbath day that he instituted. Remember that and keep it holy. But the Pharisees looked at that and they said, well, in order to keep that holy, you're going to have to do this and this and this and this, and you can't do that and that and that. And one of the things on those lists was if you were the mother of an infant and your baby started to cry on the Sabbath, you couldn't pick up your child because that was a physical work. That was a labor. That was violating the Sabbath. Or remember the time that the man with the withered hand was brought to Jesus for healing? And it says in Luke chapter 6, the scribes and Pharisees watched him to see whether he would heal on the Sabbath so that they might find a reason to accuse him. That's bondage to a law. That's bondage to slavery. That's a system designed to simply point out every single time anyone ever felt short, every time you weren't perfect. It's the bondage Paul's talking about. I remember from childhood, maybe you do, the board game Operation. Did anybody play that? Yeah, that's like a bunch. You remember it then. It had a picture of a person and little holes in the board, and with tweezers, you had to reach into the board and pick up little tiny pieces. And as long as you did it, nothing happened. But the minute your tweezers touched the side of the board, what happened? The alarm went off, didn't it? And the nose lit up, and it told every single person who was playing, you didn't do it right. You messed up. You weren't perfect. And Paul says the law did the exact same thing. And the reason you are free is to be free from that. Free from shame, free from oppression, free from living every single day and being reminded every single day of every single thing you don't do right. Freedom from that kind of oppression. He says, for freedom, Christ has set us free. So that's the reason for our freedom. Second, we look at the response to our freedom. Notice what he says next. Stand firm, therefore. Question, how do you respond to your freedom? Well, the answer is you hold on to it with everything you have and you don't give an inch. You don't let the world move you. You don't let the world take away a single inch that Jesus has given you. And actually, the word that Paul uses here is the word stako, and it literally means to persevere, to stand fast. It's the idea, hold what you've got. Don't retreat, don't surrender, don't give it up. It is yours, it is precious, and you hold on to it. During World War II, General George Patton was famous for his strategy of always moving forward. He never dug in, he never regrouped, he never fell backwards. And when they asked him why, he said, because I don't want to pay for the same ground twice. And Paul says, don't you pay for the same ground twice. Jesus has already conquered it all and given it to you as a gift. Hold on to everything you have. I like what he writes in 1 Corinthians 16. Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, be strong. He writes here, for freedom Christ has set us free, stand firm therefore. That's not always the easiest thing to do, however. If you think back 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, some of us can go back 50 years, 100 years, probably you can't go that far. But if you imagine life 100 years ago and what was acceptable then and what is acceptable now, and you consider the two different lives. You know, I read a statistic this past week that said 81% of all Americans are gravely concerned with the declining moral state of the country. And it's not hard to imagine why. When we turn on TV and when we see how kids are being clothed and we see the sexualization of youth and we see what's acceptable now versus just 10 or 20 years ago, it's easy to understand why people are worried. The world has moved. The world has also moved away from Christ. I was sharing with my Monday night Bible class this past Monday that during the early church, the argument was Jesus a man? They agreed he was God. There was no doubt about that. But was he actually a man? That was the argument. Consider that to today and how that has flip-flopped. Now people will say he was a man, he was a great teacher, he lived, he influenced everybody. But was he God? Was he divine? Did he actually come from heaven? Is he the creator? And with that kind of a movement on the world comes the question, well, is he actually the way to heaven? Is he actually a savior? Are we actually free from death and sin and religion because of Jesus? And any time the trust in Jesus decreases, the dependence on religion increases. And so Paul says, stand firm. Hold on to what you've got. Trust that freedom. Don't give it up. In Ephesians 4, it says, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine. Hold on. Keep what you have. For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore. I was studying this week, and as I was studying this passage, I was reading in a parallel way kind of the Declaration of Independence. And it's a really neat document. If you've never read through it, you should. You should take the time to do that because it is eye-opening. One of the things that I noticed was throughout that document, you got this sense that the people who signed it absolutely 100% agreed and were convinced in the destiny of them and this nation to be free. And no one would ever come along and change their mind. In fact, they were so convinced they were willing to give their lives for that freedom. And Paul says that's the type of resolve and perseverance we should have in the faith, that we should hold on, we should stand firm, even when the waves of the world go in a different direction. If you've ever been to the beach or the shore, as they call it here, and you've stood in the ocean right where the waves break, and you don't want to get knocked over, what do? You bend your knees, you dig in your feet, and you stand fast. And Paul says that's exactly what we need to do. We need to stand fast. He says, stand firm, therefore. So we have the reason for our freedom. We're free from the law. We're free from religion. We're free from bondage and sin and death. We have the response to our freedom. We stand firm in that faith. We defend that faith. We hold on to it against the different movements of the world. And finally, as we close, we have a resistance in freedom. Look at how he ends the verse. And do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Do you see that word submit? You know, in Greek it means ensnared. It's the idea of voluntarily giving up your freedom. And in this case, it's giving up your freedom to something that's out to hurt you. Notice he says a yoke of slavery, a yoke of bondage. That's the law. That's sin. That's death. That's religion. Paul says don't go back to that. Don't give up anything you have. Don't submit to that when Jesus died to set you free. You see, the Galatian church at this point was doing something that probably we've all done from time to time, and that is they're going back into old habits. They have something that feels comfortable, that they feel safe and secure in, something that they know. This freedom thing, this is a new idea. They know the law. They were raised as Jews. They were obeying the law their whole lives, and that's what they understand, and that's when they're comfortable, and so they're starting to bring that into the New Testament church. Jesus said in Matthew 23, they tie up heavy burdens hard to bear and lay them on people's shoulders. They were free, but they were giving it up and they were drifting backwards. I had a neighbor one time, nice guy, great guy, across the road from us, like I said, as nice as could be, but he had the strangest way of cutting his grass. And I mean the oddest way. I would sit on my porch and just watch that guy cut his yard. And the way he did it was he had his push mower, and he would go one pass through his grass. He would turn off his mower. He would take the bagger off. He would empty it into the trash can. He would put it back on the mower, start it back up, do another pass, turn off the mower, empty his bag into a trash can. It took this guy hours to do what should have taken him about 30 minutes. And I couldn't understand why. His yard wasn't that big. It's not like he filled up the bag every time he made one pass. Couldn't figure it out. So one day I said, Brian, why don't you just cut your whole yard? Or at least go until it fills up and then empty the bag. You'll be done in like 45 minutes. And he said to me, well, that's not the right way to do it. That's not how I've ever done it. You should do it this way. And I said, no way, because I do my grass in 30 minutes and this guy's still outside while I'm sitting on my porch watching him. But he had come up with this elaborate way of doing this chore, and for that afternoon, it took over his life. And Paul says religion does the same thing. It takes over our lives. It ensnares us into a yoke of slavery. In the book of Acts chapter 15, it says, why are you putting God to the test by placing a yoke on the neck of the disciples that neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear? And a lot of people today, and possibly somebody here, somebody listening to this message online, on the radio, wherever it may be, they have become ensnared. They've given up their freedom. They are now trapped in a yoke of slavery. They've traded that freedom for religion, and they're thinking, if only I can be good enough. If only I can have enough good things that outweigh all my bad things, then I might make it in by the skin of my teeth. If only I can somehow show myself good enough to God, then maybe one day I'll get there. They're terrified of the idea of freedom, and so they're holding on to a works-based idea of the law. There's a true story of a man from California, 1997. He robbed a bank. He was sentenced to 10 years in prison. At the end of his 10 years in prison, he got out, went to Florida, robbed another bank. While the teller was standing there, he told her, call the police, I'm ready. They came and picked him up. As it turned out, the guy loved jail. He got out, didn't know how to live. For 10 years, he had been told when to sleep, when to eat, when to go to the bathroom, and now he's on his own, and it terrified him. He liked prison more than his freedom, and so he went back. And spiritually, a lot of people are doing the same thing right now. They've drifted back into religion even though they're free. Paul says, don't do that. Don't go back. Don't let yourself be ensnared. Resist that with everything you have. Every 4th of July, America stops. And we celebrate our freedom. Our freedom from Great Britain. Our freedom from foreign rule. And we would probably all agree that your freedom is worth defending. It's worth resisting anything that might come along and try and take it away. The founding fathers thought that very thing. Toward the end of the Declaration of Independence, they write this. And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. They thought that your freedom was worth defending. And it is. And your freedom in Christ is worth defending. It's worth resisting anything at all that might come along and try and take you away. Paul says, for freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. The question is, are you free? Are you independent? And I don't mean as a citizen of America, are you free? But as a citizen of heaven, are you free? Or, as you sit here and you can contemplate your lives and you consider what's brought you here today, are you trapped? Are you ensnared? Are you trying to somehow earn your way to God to prove that you're good enough? If that's the case, allow me to very lovingly burst that bubble, because there's nothing any of us can do to ever be good enough. The only way we can come into a relationship with the Lord is through a Savior that set us free. And if this morning you're not free, and you know who you are, you can be. This can be your Independence Day. July 2nd, 2017 could be the day that you stood up and said once and for all, never again. I'll never go back to living that life ever again. I will never be in bondage ever again. I will never be trapped by shame and guilt and death ever again. This can be your Independence Day. And this can be your declaration of independence. And you can make all of that happen before you leave here, before we close this service. You can do it right now. And you can do it as we pray. Father, we thank you so much that you are a God who frees. You're a God who thought so much of our freedom that you gave your only Son to make it happen. It says in the book of John that you gave your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. We would be eternally free. Lord, it's our prayer, if there's any among us right now, anybody listening to this message who does not know that freedom that Christ can bring, that today would be their day, that they would confess to you their sin, they would ask you to become Lord of their life, they would receive Jesus as their Savior, be filled with the Holy Spirit, that today would be their Independence Day. And we pray that all of that would happen in Jesus' name. Amen.